Hello, everybody, again. This is Dolores Cannon with the Metaphysical Hour. And you probably know I've been gone for the last 3 weeks, and sometimes that happens, and then they have to use the show out of the archives. But tonight, this is August the 1st. I am back live tonight. So I know, but last time I gave the show, there were people calling in right at the end of the show, and it was kind of hard to take it then because we were coming right down to the wire. So I told them if they called back that I would answer their questions. So if anybody out there was one of those people, I really would like it if you would call in. I don't want you to feel slighted anyway. Okay, the number here to call if you want to is 877-876-5227. 877-876-5227. And that's a toll-free number. Okay. I was in Montreal the last couple of weeks. I spoke at a conference up there. And then I had to go to the ashram. I do work a lot with the ashrams and the swamis. And the headquarters, this is the Sivananda of ashrams, the headquarters is up in Balmoran in Canada, just north of Montreal. So when I go into that area, they always ask me if I would come and do the talks also. So I spoke at the conference. It was a two-week-long conference in Montreal. Then I went up into the mountains at Balmoran, and I had spoke for 3 nights up there as part of their yoga teachers training groups. And they have ashrams all over the world, and I have spoken at the ones, other ones in the United States, the one out in Grass Valley, and I spoke at the ones in the Bahamas. I go there fairly regularly. The swamis like to spend part of the year down there, and then, well, it's cold in Canada, and then they come back to Canada when it gets hot in the Bahamas, so they switch back and forth. So that way I speak at both places. I really like working with the swamis in the ashram. They're such gentle, wonderful people. And the students that come to learn the yoga are just wonderful people also. They're very gentle people. And they've told me they're having more and more students now because yoga is becoming more and more popular everywhere. More people are wanting to learn it. So they're having to stay open longer in a lot of these different ashrams. So I'm very much involved with them, and they're very good people. Then after that, I went to back into Montreal, and I had my class there in Canada. This one was a real good one. We had a lot of people. And they keep saying, when are you coming back? Well, I don't know, because I'm always going on to something else. There's always more and more things happening in my life and more travel. And it's kind of hard for me to go back to the same places because they always wanted me to go on somewhere else. Well, tonight's the only night I'm going to be live. I leave Sunday for Europe, and I'll be gone the entire month of August while I'm in Europe. So I'll be doing a lot of things over there. So it'll be September before I go live again, and then I should be home for a while before I go to China the end of October. But right now I'm going to Europe, and I'm going to be speaking in London. Anybody out there who is in these places, they've told me when I go there that people listen to this all over the world. But I'm going to be speaking next Tuesday, I think it is, the 4th, 5th, somewhere, and it's on a Tuesday. I'll be speaking at the College of Psychic Studies in London. I have gone there many, many times, and they've already told me that it's a sellout crowd. They have packed to capacity. Now, those, they said they can't get in there. They have a waiting list. The next week, I'll be speaking in Norwich over on the coast, and a lot of people are thinking they can go there if they can't get into the one at the College of Psychic Studies. If you go to Norwich, now, these are on my website, and you'll be able to contact these people. And I'll be talking on different subjects at each place. But Norwich, I know they still have seating. They're going to have it in a school auditorium where there should be plenty of room for that one. So that will be next week. I'll be there. But while I'm in London, after the talk at the college, I'm going to be giving another hypnosis class in London. So if anybody there is interested, I just don't know when I'll get back to these places to do it again. But the class is going to be at the Theosophical Society. Now, all of these addresses and contact people are all on my website if you want to find out more about them. The one for the college, the one for the Theosophical Society where the class is going to be held, and the Norwich group. So down my website is www.ozarkmountain.com. Now it's abbreviated, ozarkmt.com. And if you go on there, you'll be able to see the contact people and where the addresses of where these things are going to be. There is still room in the class, and we'll be announcing it at the college so that if anyone wants to take the class. So this is my third one I've done over there, and I just don't know when I'm going to get back to England because my path now is going to many other countries and other places. But I'll be in London for about 2 weeks. I'll be speaking at the ashram there also. It's a center rather than an ashram in London. It belongs to the same Sivananda yoga group. I'll be speaking there also. And then, after I get through with all of that in London, then I have to go to Paris, and they're going to take me down to the ashram in Orleans, or Orléans, however you want to pronounce it. And I'll be speaking down there. It's all part of the same group, so they have ashrams all over the world. I was supposed to do the one they have in the Alps in Austria on this trip, but we just couldn't work it in. There's just too many other things going on. So I will be speaking at Orléans in France at the ashram. Then I have to go on to Moscow, and I've been there a couple of times already. And I have given my class there, and I've taught a group of doctors, and I've been working with these doctors. They're very much involved in alternative healing and the alternate herbal remedies and things like that. And when they found out I was coming over, they asked me to speak at an international conference they're having in Moscow at that time. And this is a very big one. It's going to be on alternative medicine and folk medicine. So I'll be doing two talks at that conference, and they're expecting well over 1,000 people at that conference. So this is going to be interesting. I now have two publishers in Russia, so more and more of my books are being translated over there. So we're going to have the books available at the talks. So in Moscow, I'll also be doing some lectures and book signings with these publishers. But I will be meeting with the ones who took my class last year, the group of doctors, and we're going to be having like an advanced class. It will be like questions and answers of those that have been having problems with the technique. Then I can meet with them. So there's going to be a very full trip, and I'll be working a lot with these men as they are trying to understand my methods. They said they are using them over there, and they are working. So after I get through with that, then I'll be back home, but it'll be the end of August. So there's a lot of traveling in the next month. But where I'm at right now in Arkansas, it is really, really hot. It's been up to 100 today. I hope the rest of you aren't suffering like this. So it'd be good to get over there. Maybe it won't be so bad. I think Russia is going to be a little cooler anyway. But when I get back here, then the end of August, maybe most of the hot weather will be over. I hope so, anyhow. So that's my itinerary for right now. And I'll tell you more later about what's going on later in the year after I get back. But first, I've got to get this European trip out of the way. Okay, now tonight I don't have a guest, so I was trying to think about what to talk about tonight. And if anyone wants to call in, they're free to do so. when I was at the ashram, there's all these young people, because they do the students who are taking the yoga teachers training classes. And I kept thinking, what should I talk about to these young people that they can use right now in their lives? Because my work goes in so many different directions. And the last time I was on live, I spoke about karma. And we did have some people call in and ask questions about that. But these are all things we're going to need to know right now as we go into the changes and the shifting of the earth and the vibrations of the frequencies. Our lives are changing, and there's many exciting things happening right now. But one thing I decided to talk about there had to do with creation and the creating of your own reality. So I was thinking maybe I could cover that tonight, so I can just talk and see what if you want to jump in or if you just want to let me talk about it. It's important right now that we understand you can create anything you want. You're not at the whim of chance or just, you know, everything happens to me, poor little me, everybody's against me and I don't have a chance. No, that's not the way it is. You create your own reality. You create everything that is in your life. And a lot of people don't like to hear that because their lives aren't very good right now. But they always think everyone's against them and that everything has gone wrong because of circumstances. What you don't realize is you put these circumstances into your life so that you can learn lessons from them. And the lessons can be hard, they can be easy. But once you figure it out, hey, this is just a lesson, what am I learning from it? Then things begin to change, and your whole life will change. Once you understand you are the scriptwriter, you're the actor, you're the director of your own play. That's all this is just an illusion, it's just a play. It's just a game, really. I've told you before that I've had people go through the death experience in the past life regressions. And they will be out of the body looking back at the life they have just left. And they say, it was just a play. I can see the actors in the wings getting ready to come on stage to play their parts. And they said, that's all it is. It was just a play. It was just a game. But while I was in it, it seemed so serious. It seemed so complicated because I got all involved in it. But from here, on the other side, as I look back, it was just like a blink of an eye. That's all it was. But we do get involved with it. And what I have found is that one of the main reasons you're put here on Earth is to learn how to create, to learn how to manipulate energy. Everything is energy. That's all it is energy. And the energy can be used for negative or for positive, but that's all it is energy. And we're here to learn how to control it, how to use it, instead of it using us, which is usually the way it happens. We don't realize we have much more power than we think we do. Now, in the beginning, there's one way to explain this, is to go way all the way back to the very beginning when you were created. We were all created at the same time. We all came from God. They always call it the source. And you know who they is, the ones that work through all the people that I have sessions with. It's always the same group that come through everybody giving me the information. They say everyone in the beginning all started with the source. And I have had many, many people, instead of going into past lives, they go back to the source. In my new book, Convoluted Universe, Book 3, there's a whole section about the source, about God and what it is like. Because right now, the way things are changing, we're finding out that they don't need to go back into past lives anymore. Now, many people who still are working with karma have to go back. It seems like those are the only ones I have anymore who go to past lives. Everything is changing in this work. The only ones who go into past lives anymore are those who are still working on a problem. They still have karma, and they haven't worked it out yet. So they're the ones that go back to find out what is causing their problems and where is the karma coming from. They're the ones that go back into past lives. But I'm having more and more people, instead of going to a past life, go all the way back to the very beginning when they were created and they were with God. They either do that or they will go to lives where they were ETs, aliens on UFOs or on other planets, and they have all decided to come and help Earth right now, to be a volunteer. Those are some of the people that are coming now. But I find the most fascinating are the ones that go all the way back to the source, to where we all started. And they all describe the source, or God, as the same thing. God is, well, first of all, they said you have to get over the idea that God is a man. He definitely is not a man. We tend to personify everything, but he's definitely not a man. If he was going to be a sex at all, he would be a woman, because the woman has the creative powers. But the fact is that he is neither. He is neither male nor female. There is no sex. But for our limited minds to understand these things, we have to put it as personify it and make it into something we can understand, which is okay. But they said we don't need to do that. But the way they have described God or the source is a huge energy source, a very bright light. Some of them talk about the great central sun, but many of them have gone back to where they are in this great white light. And it is so beautiful. It's so comforting. It is pure love. It is like nothing you have ever experienced before. It is total love, and when they're there, they are part of each other, and they don't want to leave. It is such a beautiful feeling, being all together. It's an extreme togetherness that is very difficult to describe. And when they're sent out is when they feel the separation and the loneliness. They're no longer together. They're no longer one group. That's when many people say, they keep saying, I'm lonely here, I want to go home, I don't know where home is, but I know it's not here. I don't like the violence, I don't like the things that are happening here. That's because they have just come from such a beautiful place of total love that they can't understand it here. But in the very beginning, when we were all created, we were just all part of God. We are him and he is us. That's all there was. That's all there really is. So God decided to experience. He wanted to learn. He wanted to know more. And it was as though he exploded out. And when he exploded out, this is the equivalent of what the scientists call the Big Bang Theory. When he exploded out, all these particles flew out in every direction. All went speeding out. Some of these tiny little particles, they're like little sparks, became galaxies. Some of them became planets. And the majority of them became our own individual souls. And many times when I've taken people back into past lives and doing the regressions, they go back to where they see themselves. It's just a tiny spark. So that's all you are whenever you get all the way back to what you really are. You are just the spark of life. That's all it really is. And that's what was sent out on this journey. So we were all created at the same time. We were told to go and learn. Learn as much as you can. Have as many experiences as you can. And bring them back to the source. Bring them back to God. Then it's like a gigantic downloading into back into the system, like a computer system. was he wants all of this knowledge, all of these things are very, very important. So we're all sent out to go everywhere, to learn in other planets, other dimensions. It's all just schools, and Earth is only one of these schools. So we're sent everywhere to learn absolutely everything. So in this point, people a lot of times come to see me, and one of the questions they'll ask is, where do I come from? We all came from the same place. We were all created at the same time and sent out at the same time on our journeys to learn as much as we could. Now, that's why they say there is no evil, there is no good, because it's all experiences. It's all, what did you learn from anything? Everyone has bad things that happen in their life. This is part of learning. This is part of life. But what did you learn from it? If you learned even one thing from it, that was the purpose of it. If you say, I didn't learn anything at all, well, then you're going to have to experience it over again, because that was the purpose of having it in the first place. Then if you did learn something from it, you'll go on to the next lesson, which may or may not be better. But at least it will be different. So you're constantly creating these experiences. And when I think I've told you this before, that whenever you come into a life, you create your plan. You write your script. You have all of the actors in place. All the people you want to repay things with, you write it. You are the director, you're the actor, you're the script writer. So if you write it yourself, you can unwrite it or change it. That's what this talk is all about. See, if we are part of God, because we all began with God, then we can say we are God. And I know you can't go around saying that to people. They'll lock you up. But it is true. If we started with God, we are part of God. We are the same thing as God, because we are all made alike. And in my book, Between Death and Life, which I wrote many years ago, I asked the question on there in that, what is God? And they said, understanding of God is like a tiny thread compared to what it really is. That's all you can understand. It'd be absolutely impossible for you to understand the totality of what he really is, the wonder of what he really is. It's like a tiny thread compared to what it really is all about. Then they said, then think of those people who don't even have the understanding that we do with metaphysics. Their understanding of God isn't even as big as a tiny thread. They can't even begin to understand the total concept of what he is and what he can do. They said, without him, he is the glue that holds everything together. It's all done with his thought, his creation. He's the glue that holds everything there is together. And if he were to wink out for a fraction of a second, everything would disintegrate. That is how much we are all interconnected and how we depend on him. But the part we have forgotten was that if he is able to create everything, we also have the power of creation. Because we are part of him. We have the same powers that he has. Isn't that wonderful to think that? That we have lost those abilities because we don't understand that we have them. They're not really lost, they're just kind of hidden in the mumble jumble of everyday life. And all the illusion, I guess you would say, out there, the play, the game, we think we don't have any power. But we have the same powers. I've taken people back, and I never direct them to these lives. They just pop up. But in my latest book, Convoluted Universe Book 3, there are some people who went back to the beginning when the Earth was being created, when the waters were being put on the earth, and they were all part of this whole creation process as a co-creator. In that way, they are just like God, because they helped him to create everything that is on the planet. I did a radio show while I was in Canada, and the man who was doing the radio show asked me if I'd heard of this book. I don't remember the name of it now, but it was written by a physicist. And in it, he said the scientists had come to the conclusion that there was consciousness before there was matter. And he wanted to know what I thought about it. And I said, well, that's exactly what I'm finding. Because he said most of the scientific community thought it was the other way around. First there was matter, then came consciousness. But that this physicist was now beginning to understand, first there is consciousness. Well, that is God. That is everything. First there is consciousness, then comes matter. Because it is thought into being and created in that way. So this is what I was told. If you have those powers, when you come to Earth, we forget. The veil comes down. We can't remember everything. But we're here to get these powers back. We are here to learn how to manipulate energy to create anything we want in our life. The power you have is absolutely tremendous. There is nothing you cannot have. First, you have to know what you want, which a lot of people, that's the difficult part. You may have a vague idea, but a vague idea will only bring vague results because the universe doesn't know exactly what you want, so it will give you something is pretty close. And then you'll say, well, that's not really what I wanted, but I guess I got to settle for it. Now, the way to create is what they've told me is first you have to know exactly what you want. You've got to put in your order. Now, you have to know exactly what you want, the finished product, the goal, not all the steps along the way. You don't need to bother about that at all. First, you have to know the goal, the finished product, what it is you really want, what you want to accomplish. Physical, material things are the easiest to obtain. You may not think that, but money, material objects are the easiest to obtain because we can create these. And I've had this happen time and time again in my work, in my career, in my building of my company. I know now how to make it work. But you have to think of the end result. What is it that I want? And you have to be able to see it in minute detail. It can't be vague. The final goal, what it is that you want, you have to be able to see it. And you create it by putting that picture full of life, full of details. You hear people talking. You see yourself doing whatever it is. If it's money, you see the money coming. Don't worry about where it's coming from, but is coming in, and you're handling the checks, you're handling the money, you're putting it in your bank account, whatever it is you want it for. You must be able to see it with your mind and in detail. You want a car? Figure out what kind of a car you want. Exactly the color, the price, the end result. I had a friend who did that. She visualized the car she wanted, the price, and the make, and everything. She had it all figured out, and she sent it out into the universe. This is what I want. Well, she got what she wanted. The only problem was it didn't run. It was a lemon. So then it was like, okay, I forgot to put that little detail in there. This is what I mean. You have to fill every single detail into what it is you're visualizing. You have to be able to hear people talking. Sure, it's imagination, but this is where creation comes from. First comes the dream, first comes the imagination, then you create. It has to happen. We're talking about here a very important law of the universe. It must happen if you do it in the correct way. It has to happen because that's the way the laws of the universe work. But if you want a person in your life, first figure out what kind. You may want to have a certain, look a certain way, or maybe you just want to have certain characteristics. Maybe they'll be interested in the same things you're interested in, or maybe they will have be very kind or loving or attentive. Whatever it is, you fill your creation full of all of the characteristics, the details, everything that you want. If you want blonde, blue-eyed, or if you want dark with black hair, well, however you want it, you imagine it. You put it in out there. And if you want to have a good person, so you try to imagine exactly what this person is going to be, their characteristics. And I had a woman tell me she did this. She sent it out to the universe, exactly the right kind of person that she wanted in her life. All the details. She wanted him to look a certain way. She wanted him to have certain characteristics. She wanted him to have a certain amount of money and job. She had it all figured out. Well, the man came into her life, but she left out one little detail. The man was married. So she said, okay, that's not going to work. So she sent it out again, this time making sure that the man would be available. So out goes her order again. This time, she got it back, the exact same thing again. This time, the man was 10 years younger than her. She said, well, I can live with that. So that was okay. But she did fulfill her order. But you have to think of every little detail, or the universe will fill it in for you what they think you want. But you visualize it, you hear people talking, you see them moving, you see them doing things. My daughter was in nursing school, and she kept saying, it's so difficult, it's so hard, I don't think it's ever going to happen. I told her not to worry about it, to visualize herself already a nurse in a hospital, walking down the hall, taking care of the patients, doing everything that a nurse was supposed to do, and to put lots of detail into it. Well, she ended up being a nurse, and she was a nurse for 20 years in ICU and the cardiac units. She got her wish. So here you are. You know what you want. You know exactly what you want. If you want a house, anything, first be able to visualize it totally. Now, don't worry about how it is going to happen. This house, the place I stayed at this last weekend, I was explaining this to a man. He's a businessman, and he has a project in mind. And I kept telling him, all right, see it as done. You have to see it as already completed. That's your goal. It's already done. He said, well, now I got to figure out the steps along the way. I said, no. That's not the way to do it. You don't worry about how it's going to happen. You don't worry about the steps that are taken to get to this point. All you want to focus on is the goal, the end result of what you want. If you waste time thinking about how am I going to do this, how is this going to happen, I've got to do X, Y, Z to get to this place, then you are limiting the universe. You're limiting them. By saying, this is the only way it can happen, is the way that I'm thinking. No, you don't want to limit them. They have such power. And remember, you're working in conjunction with them because you also have great power. It's just inert. You have not used it. Now we're going to be able to practice and we're going to really see what's going to happen. But you don't worry about how it's going to happen. They will take care of that. And it will happen in ways that you could not possibly imagine. You could never figure out the way they're going to do it. It can come all the way around from a different angle that totally And I've had this happen in my life many, many times in the publishing of my first book, when I handed it over to the universe and said, okay, I don't think I can do it anymore. You take it. You do it. And when I did that, it happened immediately, and some of my first books came from England, a publisher over there. I could never have imagined how it was going to happen. I kept thinking of the United States. Well, now those rights have been returned to me, and the books are in the United States. But in those days, if I would have said, this is the way it's going to happen, I would have been limiting them. Instead, I turned it over to them, and I said, here, this is what I want. This is my request that I'm putting in to you. You guys take it, and you do it. And boy, do they like that. They love to be noticed. They love to be asked to do something. But you never worry about how it's going to happen. It will happen in the strangest ways you can possibly imagine. And it's all for the good, because this is what you want. But it is a law of the universe. Once you request something, you don't say, I want this, I need this, I'm trying. Those are limiting phrases. You say, I request this. This is my goal. This is what I want you to do for me. And you put it out there and just allow them to do it. Don't worry about how it's going to happen. If you're looking for money, don't think about what's got to come from this direction or that direction. Just see that you have it. You're holding it. It's real. You're putting it in the bank. They will figure out how it's going to get to you. And boy, oh boy, do they. The money comes from the most amazing sources. But this is all part of you learning to use this tremendous energy and what you have to do to get it. Don't worry about the steps. Think about the end result. But also, using this power, there are some things you need to be warned about, too. You only use this power to create for the positive, for the good. It is a great power. Now, like I said, it's an energy, so it doesn't know the difference between right and wrong. It doesn't know the difference between negative and positive. It's how the energy is used that makes it negative or positive. So you want to use it in the positive way, the best way possible, the best for all concerned. That's what you send out. Never, ever use this ability to create something negative. That goes along with these ideas people always hear about magic and black magic, is when they're using these for the negative purposes. You don't want to do that, because anything you send out comes back to you tenfold. If you want to send out negative, you're going to get 10 times that negative back. So I wouldn't take that chance. I wouldn't have anything to do with that. I don't want negative coming into my life at all. But if you send out positive, to do it in the right way, that will come back to you 10 times. I'd much rather do that. So I always tell people, don't create out of fear. Don't create out of negativity. Create out of love and wanting to help, out of positive. When you do that, the results will be positive for you and everyone around you. You will all benefit from this. That's the main thing. They always say the highest good for all concerned. That's one thing you can always add when you're creating something. The highest good for all concerned. And it will come back to you tenfold in the best way you can imagine. One thing to illustrate this, maybe there's a job you want. You want a job in this company. You want a certain type of job. Now, if you were to start using this power and sending it out there that this other person in the company would lose their job. So you could take their job. You would accomplish what you wanted to do, but that is negative because you're taking away from something. You're hurting another person. You never do something like that. You never take away from someone else. You would imagine that a job will be available for you. A job will be created for you where there wasn't one before. A totally new job. So you're not taking anything away from anybody else. Or a job will just open up for you. You go and they'll say, oh yeah, you know, we're thinking about hiring somebody to fill this one position. Because you put it out there and it must happen. But don't ever use this power in the negative way, because it will come back on you. You hurt someone, or if you want a certain man or woman in your life, they're married, that's not good. You're hurting other people. You always do it for the best for all concerned, and then it will always come back to you in the best way, the most correct way. These are the important points of this. Because this is a great power, and you can use it. You can have anything you want. Just use it in the positive way of you're going to create. Well, this happened, way back in the very beginning of my career when I was first writing my books, sending them off. I went through years of disappointment, and I faced every obstacle that a writer can possibly face. I've been there, done that. I know all the problems that a writer has. And I was sending it out, and I was just heartbroken from all of the rejects and everything coming back. So this is when I first began visualizing this, not knowing how in the world it was going to happen. I didn't even know all the rules at that time, but I figured them out as I went along with this whole career. But I kept visualizing my books. Now, they weren't published yet. Didn't have a publisher. I kept getting rejects back. These were in the days before there were New Age bookstores, before there were New Age publishers. I started back in the early 80s sending out my manuscripts. Now, in those days, I was sending them out, and I was visualizing. It was done. It was already finished. The books were published. I was visualizing a bookstore like Borders or B. Dalton in the mall. And I would walk into the store and I would see all the people. I would hear them talking and they were all milling around. And I would go over to a bookshelf and see my books sitting on the bookshelf. And people coming over and picking them up, looking at them and taking them to the cash register, paying for them. See, I had to put a lot of detail into this, and then I knew it was going to happen because that's the law of the universe. I didn't know how because I was having all these problems. So in the middle of all of this creating, and you have to believe, you must believe, that is another main ingredient. I have an affirmation over my computer. It's been there since the beginning. It says, believe, achieve. Doubt, you're out. You must believe no matter what obstacles are in your way, because those are just the testing time. Those are just the learning experiences to get you to where you have to go. That's why I call those early days my testing time. Well, in the middle of all of this, my daughter went into a store, bookstore, looking at the shelves, and she just happened to glance up at this one shelf, and she saw three books sitting there. And just absently, she said, oh, those are Mama's books, and then she went on looking at the other books. Then she realized what she had said. She looked back at the shelf. There was nothing on the shelf. And she told me this, and I said, aha, I know what's happening. They're beginning to come into our reality. They weren't published yet, but I knew they would be because they were beginning to come into our reality if she could see them. And there were three. And those are the first books that were published were the Nostradamus trilogy. And also very important, there was nothing on that shelf. They were not taking away from anything. There was a space empty waiting for them to appear. This is the way it works. And later, after volume one of the Conversations for Nostradamus, that's the first book I had published, when that came out, I was getting all kinds of fan mail. And one man wrote me that he'd been in a bookstore and he saw volume one and volume two of Conversations with Nostradamus. He picked them up, went over to the cash register to pay for them. Then he decided, I think I'll wait and get volume two later. So he took that back and put it back on the shelf and just took volume one home with him. Well, he said about a week later, he went back to the same bookstore to get volume two. And he's looking at all the books, and he couldn't find it. And he wrote me, and he said, what happened? Did the government take that book off of the market? Did they make you quit publishing it? Did they make you take it, you know, because it was controversial, or what? And I wrote him back, and I said, no, that book has not been published yet. But you see here what was happening. He was seeing it. So I said, it's real. It's going to happen. I was still finishing the writing on it, but I knew it was going to be published. But the interesting thing about that story is, what did he hold in his hand? It was solid. It was real. He was holding it. What was that? He took it to the register. I always say, what would have happened if he would have taken it home with him? Somebody said, well, it would have disappeared, or it probably would have found it was a different book altogether. But I think it would have really messed up the inventory at the store. But it was real enough that he handled it. But yet, it was not really there. Of course, we can take an argument a little further and talk about other dimensions, which I've since discovered, where things exist in one dimension and they don't exist in another dimension. That's a possibility also. But it shows me that things, they're coming, and whenever they are, and you see all these strange things like this. I had another man said he was going through a catalog, checking off books that he wanted. And he checked off some of my books. And then when he went to order them, they told him they didn't know what he was talking about. Those books weren't published. Then he went back to the catalog. He couldn't even find them in there. Strange things out here. Isn't it funny the way the universe works? And we start to learn how it works. We can work with it. We can manipulate energy to create anything we want at all. Absolutely anything. But I said, first you have to know what you want. You can't be vague. If you're vague, they'll say, well, maybe this is what it is, and they'll fill it with something that you don't really want. First, you got to be exactly accurate on what it is you want. This is the way I work in my practice, too, because I've found we create our own illness. The same thing. Your mind is so powerful, you can create absolutely anything in your life. So anytime you're sick, you are the one who has made yourself sick. The ideal state of the body should be perfect health at all times. There should be nothing wrong with the body at all. But if you have become sick, any ache, pain, symptom of the body is the subconscious trying to give you a message, trying to tell you something. And that's what I've learned in my work and what I teach in my method is how to notice when a client comes in and they talk about back pains, knee pains, hip pains, and all of this, I know immediately what's going on in their life. My daughter says people become so transparent once you understand this, that the subconscious is very literal about which part of the body it will affect for whatever symptom. So I can tell people what's happening in their life when they come in with the same symptoms, one after the other. It always means the same thing. But if your mind is powerful enough to make yourself sick, it's also powerful enough to cure you and take it away once you understand, why am I doing this to myself? What am I trying to prove to myself? I was at one conference, a few months ago that I lectured at, and afterwards this man got very angry with me. He said, how dare you go up there and tell people they make themselves sick? I said, because it's true. He just couldn't understand it. He couldn't believe it. But we do it for a reason. I don't, and most of the people say, well, I don't want to be sick. I'm sure I understand that because that's what I work with all the time. But why did you do it? What is it trying to tell you? What's the answer? Once we find out what it means, then it goes away because there's no need for it anymore. There's no need to keep giving you this message. The subconscious is trying to tell you something, and it does it at first in little subtle hints, subtle things in your life, subtle nudges and intuitions and feelings. If you don't get the message, then it begins to cause pain. That'll get your attention. And the part of the body that it is in indicates something, a specific message. And if you still don't understand what it's trying to tell you, we always go run to the doctors anyway instead of trying to figure out, what's it trying to tell me? You still don't understand what it's trying to tell you, the pain will get worse. Still trying to get your attention, trying to shake you up. Now this can continue to the point that you end up with a disease, an illness, or something that is much harder to help, much harder to cure, because it has gotten out of hand. And I always tell them, if you don't listen, if you don't pay attention to what they're trying to tell you, they will hit you up the side of the head. They're going to get your attention one way or the other. They, like, shaking you. Now are you listening to me? You're not listening before. Are you listening now? What do I have to do? Make you have an accident? Make you have an operation before you're going to listen? They don't like surgery. They don't like invasion of the body. They just want to get your attention and try to tell you something. So the main thing is to find out what it is before it gets to that point. So be aware of your body. Wherever the aches and pains are has a specific meaning. And I've found in my work, I think I've told you before on this show, cancer, especially in the intestinal areas, is caused by suppressed anger. What are you angry about? Usually the person can't talk about it, or they won't talk about it. They say, I don't have anything wrong with me. What do you mean? You're the one with the problems. I don't have any problems. But they're the ones that are sick. The body does not lie. If it's telling you that something's wrong with you, it's trying to give you a message. And once you receive that message and understand, the disease will go away. That's how powerful the mind is. This is what I'm spreading all over the world. I work with these different alternative healing groups and natural medicines because they're all going along the same line. Is that we make ourselves ill so we can heal ourselves once we realize the extreme power that we have. Okay, I'm hoping I got through to some people out there, and I'm hoping I didn't shake too many up and make you afraid or anything, because you just got to realize the power that you have. And once you realize that power, look at what you can do, what you can accomplish in your life, and others' lives around you, what you can do. Just don't you don't abuse it. You never, never use it for negative, and you'll have wonderful things happen in your life. So I'm hoping I got through to some people. At the ashram, they seemed to understand it. One girl came up and she said, I want this one kind of camera, and I know exactly what it costs and everything, but I don't know how I'm going to get the money. And I said, don't worry about it. Just see that you have it, you're using it, and it will be yours. So think about it. Think about what you want in your life, material or non-material, emotional, whatever it is. And change your life, because your minds are that strong. Now, if anyone wants to check my website to see my schedules, my speaking, and my classes, the website is www.ozarkmt.com. And if you want to find out about my classes, my lectures, or my private sessions, the 800 number is, you can check the website or you can go on. The 800 number is 1-800-935-0045. 1-800-935-0045. I know I'm booked clear through the end of the year, but we're now booking for January. We have a long waiting list for private sessions. But anyway, if you're interested, contact the office. And I'm going to be gone for Europe the entire month of August, so they will be playing archived shows on this radio station. But I'll be back the end of August, and then we'll be live again. Okay, everybody, good night, and have a wonderful day. Wonderful night, I guess I should say. Everybody be happy. And use your creative powers. Good night.